We are winding down now toward the end of your book, just two chapters to go. In chapter 15, you take up what you call the goal of interpreting the Bible, which is theology. And you sketch this out for us in a couple of directions that I'll ask you to address. First of all, what is biblical theology?
Yes, biblical theology is essentially the theology of the Bible and of the biblical writers themselves rather than our own theology. That means that as we engage in biblical theology, we need to listen to the text and try to find out what the biblical writers cared about, what their convictions were, and how they expressed them in their own terms. So properly conceived, biblical theology is a historical, inductive, and descriptive discipline. It is historical in that we need to try to understand the passage of Scripture initially in its own original setting. It's inductive in that we need to do our best to lay our preconceived notions aside and listen to the text's own message on its own terms, as I mentioned. And it is descriptive in that we're trying to discern the convictions and message of the biblical writers before moving on to application.
Very good. All right, how is biblical theology different from systematic theology? And isn't systematic theology biblical?
Yes, that's the idea. But, you know, it's a great question. Some have conceived of this relationship in terms of parent and child, with biblical theology being the parent and systematic theology being the child. But I like to think of the relationship more as a genuine partnership between two related adjacent disciplines. The image of a relay race comes to mind, where one runner, biblical theology, hands off the baton to the next runner, systematic theology. So the two disciplines run the race together and win or lose together, but biblical theology is the first runner and systematic theology the second one. Or actually, since biblical theology is properly based on introductory matters, such as authorship, date, provenance, audience, occasion, purpose for writing, and so forth, as well as on the exegesis of specific texts, if you have a four-person relay team, introductory matters would run first, followed by exegesis, then biblical theology, and last, systematic theology. I'd love that kind of theological relay team. I think it'd be very competitive, and I'd love to be the coach of that team. In any case, the way I see the difference between biblical and systematic theology is that biblical theology tries to bring us closer to the text by studying it in its original historical setting and context, while systematic theology tries to bring the text closer to us and our world by making proper application to the issues we face today. So both biblical and systematic theology are helpful and important, but biblical theology should come first, and systematic theology should follow biblical theology and be based on it.
Excellent. All right. Are there multiple ways of engaging in biblical theology, and if so, what are they?
Are there ever? Actually, my mentor, Don Carson, once remarked, everyone does what is right in his or her own eyes and calls it biblical theology. In an article I wrote for the Gospel Coalition online journal, Familias, I discussed four ways in which scholars are practicing and have practiced biblical theology. The first one is looking at the theology of the Bible book by book. I call this the classical approach, as this is how biblical theology has been traditionally conceived ever since J.P. Gobler, who most think founded the discipline in the late 1700s. Second, people have studied central themes throughout Scripture, such as creation and new creation, covenant, the kingdom of God, the Messiah, and so forth. Third, in addition, some have sought to identify a single center of Scripture, though personally I believe, and I think most scholars would agree, that the plurality of significant themes is a better way to go. And fourth and finally is a meta-narrative or story approach, the most recent one, which looks at the Bible in terms of its overall storyline. All those approaches are valid, in my opinion, though probably the best way to engage in biblical theology is a combination, meaning you start book by book and then move on to central themes in the context of the Bible's overarching storyline and meta-narrative.
Very good. All right, what are some prominent themes? You mentioned that's one approach. What are some prominent themes in biblical theology?
Yes, well, as I mentioned, creation and new creation would be an obvious place to start. Just, you know, look at Genesis and Revelation and the way in which they correspond to each other as opposite bookends of Scripture. John's Gospel, for example, starts out with God's creation in the beginning, alluding to Genesis, and ends with Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit on the new Messianic community, conceived of as a new creation. So certainly creation and new creation is a very important overarching theme that spans the entire Bible. Second important theme is that of covenant, possibly in relation to kingdom. Clearly what we see in the Old Testament is a series of covenants culminating in the New Covenant, as I mentioned in our discussion of the Old Testament canon earlier. And then, of course, there is the all-important motif of the Messiah with various messianic predictions in the Old Testament that gave rise to messianic expectations, which were subsequently fulfilled in Jesus. Per the New Testament Gospels, I think what's interesting here is that when you actually do a word study in the word Messiah in the Old Testament, you come up relatively empty, but there's so many other words that are related to the Messianic motif, my servant, and the root of Jesse, and son of David, and the anointed one, and so forth, that when it's all said and done, you come up with a whole web of messianic themes and expectations. So I think that would be a summary of some of the most important prominent themes in biblical theology.
All right, how does the New Testament use of the Old Testament relate to biblical theology, and is that a distinctive approach to biblical theology?
It's part of it. It's an important subset, I would say, of biblical theology. What we see here is that the New Testament authors themselves already engage in biblical theology by drawing on important Old Testament passages and applying them to Christ or to other important figures or themes. So the New Testament use of the Old Testament is a fascinating field of study, one of my favorite areas of research. It involves the study of typology, where one original pattern or person, a type, corresponds to a later antitype. One studies predictive prophecy, allegory, illustrations, and several other facets. For those interested, I would recommend the commentary on the New Testament use of the Old Testament, edited by Greg Beale and Don Carson. Also the chapter on biblical theology in our book, Invitation to Biblical Interpretation, of course, chapter 15, the chapter we're talking about right now. While I'm at talking about some helpful biblical theological resources, there's some major new series that are devoted to biblical theology, such as the BTNT series, Biblical Theology of the New Testament, an eight-volume series with Zondervan. Also the BTCP series, a projected 40-volume series on the entire Old and New Testament with B&H, and the New Studies in Biblical Theology series, the NSBT series, edited by Don Carson, with a growing number of volumes on a vast array of biblical theological topics. So I think in the last few years, we've seen a significant increase in scholarship on biblical theology, which bodes well for the future of the discipline.
Very good. We'll list, by the way, we'll list some of the those series here on the webpage as well, so people can take advantage of those. All right, our assignment now is to read Chapter 15 of Invitation to Biblical Interpretation. In our next and final segment, Dr. Kostenberger will talk to us about a right application of Scripture, God's Word coming to life.